This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Right, so I'm joined in the studio right now by Ruse, who are Sean O'Toole and Colette Williams. Hi. Woo.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Not too bad. You're kind of Great Escape veterans at this stage, aren't you?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Been around the Great Escape block a few times.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we record this, you haven't performed yet. You're performing in a few hours' time. What can kind of people expect? Because it's a bit of a tight turnaround, isn't it? It's a half an hour. What are you hoping to kind of cram in that 30 minutes?
I'm going to cram in some high energy rock.
Yeah.
For people to dance to.
Yeah. Lots of sequins. There's some really cool like glitter balls behind the stage, so there'll be lots of visual little treats and lots of little earworms as well.
Yeah, and big smiles from our faces.
I can see you're already wearing the sequins. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, I was trying to get into the zone already. It's got a unicorn on the back as well, just in case.
Give us a look. Oh wow!
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll put that up.
I don't do it by heart.
You're gonna have to do a swirl on stage, aren't you?
Just yeah.
Find a way. You got this. So, how do you kind of perform? How do you kind of you've been on the go for a few years now? How do you kind of find the whole performance side of things? Because it's just two of you, so that in itself is a bit of a kind of a, I wouldn't say a barrier, but certainly something that kind of people don't expect, perhaps, from a band.
Mm-hmm. We actually were talking about this earlier today. Like, we try to be as creative as possible within our restrictions, because obviously, you know, Colette's stuck to the drum kit and microphone, and I'm stuck behind a guitar and a microphone as well. But we actually have so much fun on stage, and I think that's one of the things that really shines through. And we work a lot on trying to create a big sound, so it's just trying to be as creative as possible within the limitations. And we absolutely love playing together. So
It's the highlight of everything we do, really. You know, when we're on stage, it's like being in a playground. And everyone always says afterwards, like, wow, you make so much noise for two people. And we're just like, thank you, we do. Yeah. So it's a compliment.
Yeah.
No, it's funny, because the two of you kind of got together by happy accident, I believe, a few years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, kind of. It's just,
wasn't it, dear?
Yeah, it was. Tinder. And just joking. That's not true. That's not true.
That could be a brilliant idea. Tinder for musical artists.
Yeah.
Coming together.
Yeah. That was actually.
Put patent office right now.
Yeah. All right.
Boom. Yeah, it was. It was kind of by fate, really. Shauna had moved over to London and met a friend of, a sister of someone I went to university with. And we were both looking for like-minded musicians. Shauna got in contact with me. We met up and had a jam, and it just clicked sort of instantly, just had that kind of musical connection. And and it's been fantastic ever since. Yeah.
So were you both coming from the same kind of place in terms of what style you were looking for, what kind of influences you had?
We do have similar interests. Like, I think we just wanted to kind of focus on being a rock band because we love that kind of style of music. But actually, Colette and I have really eclectic tastes as well. Like, you know, we love Fleetwood Mac. We love, like, Ludovico and Audi. There's loads of different kind of styles, but like, I guess we do, we feel like we've created like this kind of like Ruse sound that we're hoping to expand even further. But you know, we obviously need to have something that people know what we are first before we can explore those elements a bit more.
How long did it take for you, do you think, to get that kind of Ruse sound? Because it is quite distinctive, it does stand out.
I don't know,
I think it's still just changing. Yeah, you know, it's always evolving, but I think it still has the core fundamentals of, you know, high energy. You know, when you see us live, we have lots of fun, and it's very melodic, and you know, with the harmonies and stuff.
Yeah, the songs are really based on like creating a really good song that has a really pop, well, not pop, but like, you know, strong popular chorus that people can actually sing along to. So I think that's kind of like the hinge of all of our songs, and like our kind of sound, and like just making sure that we have, you know, because that's the other thing with us being just the two of us, like we're kind of incorporating our creative elements together, and that creates that sound a bit easier rather than having maybe six or seven different kind of influences that in there.
Yeah,
maybe.
Too many cooks spoil the broth.
So two cooks is enough for now.
So your debut album you released last just at the end of last year, really, Pyro. So you guys hadn't released that much in the lead up to that, had you?
Done an EP or two, haven't we, really, just kind of teasing people.
Yeah, we're just like at the beginning. We sort of were very much DIY. We did it completely ourselves. We did like a pledge campaign, and we'd released and self-funded our own videos and our own recordings and everything like that. So, yeah, it was actually a really cool journey. And then you know, since Marshall and our management team and everything came into place, and it just has exploded a little, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Pyro, yeah, that's the example.
Exactly.
Yeah, explosion.
And you recorded some of it in Abbey Road as well. What was that like?
It was incredible, yeah. It actually coincided with my 30th birthday, so it's like the best birthday gift ever. And it was just, we kind of walked in and you have that little heart-wrenching moment where you're like, oh my gosh, am I good enough to be here? You know, and you think of all the amazing albums and artists that have recorded there. But it was just a magnificent experience, and we had like the best time.
And did you do the photograph? Did you do a thing out in the...
Yeah, we did.
We did one outside with the Abbey Roads like logo over the front door.
But we didn't actually do it over the famous zebra crossing we were going to, but it was really busy. And actually, to be honest, everybody that walks across it does a photograph. So like, you'd have to wait for about 2 hours before you get a chance.
Also, one thing I didn't know is that crossing is actually live streamed, so you can actually watch all the people posing and like taking pictures. So
really?
I kind of didn't want to be on that, just in case in like 10 years someone's like, oh, remember this guy?
That would be so funny.
Could come back to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Well, so like, people get to do that, but not everyone gets to record inside the studio.
Exactly.
So you've got that like badge of honour. Right? That's all good. So you performed on the John Peel stage at Glastonbury last year. So first of all, how was that and how did that come about?
Ooh, amazing. It was awesome. Our booking agent basically got it for us, and we were asked to do it about a year before, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to keep it a secret for up to 10 months.
Yeah, which is really tough.
Yeah. But it was an amazing experience. We were sacking on, and we were worried that people weren't going to come. But as soon as we went on, the whole place just packed out, and it was just like, we literally had to pinch ourselves.
Yeah, and the stage was so huge as well, because we're not used to stages so big, so it felt like Shauna was about 10 miles away from me, so she had to keep jogging over just so I didn't feel lonely. And there was this one point where I looked out into the crowd and there were so many people there that I forgot to play for a second, and I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be playing drums, right, back to it.
That's not a good place to get stage fright.
No, exactly. It was more like stage awe. I was just like, wow, how to cut all these people.
You wouldn't have known, though, that she had stopped, because you know, she's an incredible drummer.
Such a
bad
drummer anyway.
Together. No, I meant her.
You just let it
covered behind, it up well.
Yeah, you left behind the curtains there. Gave it away. So I suppose kind of like performing on a big stage like that, then did you see kind of like an upsurge in people kind of following your music after that?
Yeah, massively.
Mm-hmm. So much interaction, like on social media and stuff as well. It's amazing to see.
People were really engaged, and the great thing was, you know, that they actually reached out and told us that they enjoyed it, or, you know, that we had a really big sound and that they wanted to see us again. And still to this day, we have people saying, oh, the first time I saw you was at Glastonbury and you blew me away. And it's really nice that they keep referencing that, because that was probably, you know, the highest point in our career today.
Possibly.
Now, there's no Glastonbury this year, but you are performing at the Isle of Wight Festival. Do you have any other kind of summer festivals where people can see you?
Absolutely loads, yeah. We've got Camden Rocks coming up in London. We've got Boardmasters in Newquay.
Yeah, we've got Beautiful Days in Devon, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There are loads of people, just go onto our website and follow
our
lessons.
It's about 26, so we are busy bees.
Yeah, we're going to be actually in Berlin next week.
Yeah.
And Jersey as well.
It's a good way to see the world, isn't it? It's a really good way to see the world. So what is the website? Because you mentioned the website has all the tour dates, songs, everything else. What is the website?
It's roosemusic.com.
I was going to say before you go, you've been called female royal blood a lot. I'm sure you're
in Brighton.
Yeah, I'm sure you love that. You bring up to my next question. I was going to say, seeing as you're in the home of royal blood, have you ever... have you ever heard from them? Have they ever kind of said, hey, you guys, what are you doing?
You go for it.
I was just going to say, not the last tour we did, but the one before that, we played the Green Door Store.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben actually came down to see us, a drummer, which was really cool. So we got to hang out with him for a bit afterwards. That was really surreal.
Mm-hmm. Quite cool. It was amazing. But apart from that, we haven't actually...
Yeah.
Well, we've been... Maybe we should tweet them a little bit more and be like, hey guys, if you want us to support, you know, we could do the tour.
Actually, saying that, just on a nerdy little point here, Ben actually plays with a Morgan Davies snare, who is a guy that makes like the most magnificent snares based in Brighton as well. And I'm desperately trying to get hold of one because they are absolutely beautiful. So I can take a little bit of Brighton with me wherever we go then.
So have you been to, is it a store or is it? A store in Brighton?
Well, they're all custom made. So I think he makes them from like his own little kind of workshop. Oh. So, yeah. Mm.
You go. You might if he's listening in right now.
Yeah.
He might.
Want one of those incredible snares.
Get one of those snares. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, listen, Ruth. The best luck with your gig a little bit later on. I'm sure you'll dazzle with the sequence. Ooh. There we go. Fantastic.
And, we might even shine.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see you back in Brighton again soon.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review. And to hear more podcasts like this, check out RadioReverb.com.